Hey, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, joined today by my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for listening. Hey, if you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help the AACC equip the church to provide Christian mental health care and resources to those in need, and even to help us provide training to those ready to step into a people-helping role, just go to aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift helps keep this program and your station on the air as we expand our ministry to train others to have effective mental health ministries. Hey, we'd love for you to be a part of our family as we continue sharing messages of help, hope, and healing with today's generations. My dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a wonderful guest joining us now. So let's get started.
Really excited again about today's conversation. My son and co-host Zach Clinton recently sat down with the incredible, radiant Angie Smith. Angie's a popular Christian speaker and an encourager. We recently had the pleasure of having her on stage at our sold-out Extraordinary Women Conference in Hershey, Pennsylvania. 7,500 women. Angie is married to Todd Smith, lead singer of the Dove Award-winning group, Selah. She's also mom to five kids. They make their home in Franklin, Tennessee. When she's not working on her woven Bible study ministry, Angie actually finds time and energy to teach 8th grade English. She's the best-selling author of the Bible study, Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story, as well as two children's books and several books for adults, including Chasing God and What Women Fear. Angie holds a master's degree in developmental psychology from Vanderbilt University, and she's getting her PhD in psychology from Liberty University. Let's go now to Zach and Angie Smith.
Miss Angie Smith, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So excited to sit down with you. I've heard nothing but great things about you, ma'am. And I got to hear you speak out there, and what a fantastic teacher and communicator you are. It was a blessing. But to begin, just a fun question, because we can relate on this. We're both finishing out PhDs. Yours is in psychology, mine is in counseling. How is that entire program been for you, and where are you at in the program?
Okay, so, and you and I are at the same school.
Yes, Liberty
which
University.
Which is amazing. So I've had a blast. I've had the best professors. I feel like I've been completely spoiled. I've heard horror stories forever, and I was kind of dreading it, and it has not been my experience. So I am at the point where I have gone through defending my proposal.
Wow.
And now it's an IRB, and hopefully they'll approve it, and then I'll get to do the study, and it would be awesome if you and I graduate month.
We'll be walking in May.
We will get pictures of us in our caps and gowns or whatever it's called. We get something different to wear. It's not even a cap. I forget what it's called, but
the hooded ceremony.
Yes.
That's so exciting. It's amazing what God is continuing to do and into your life. And I know you have a heart for ministry, but another cool transition that you've taken into is teaching. You said eighth grade English.
Yes, I know.
Talk to us about that.
It's so much fun. So my kids went to a really small, one is still there, the others are in college, but this little tiny school in Franklin, Tennessee, where I live, it's like 8 minutes from my house. I love the school, and they needed an English teacher last year and came to me a couple weeks before it started and said, would you ever consider this? I've never taught in a classroom setting, and I was like, yeah, I'll try it, and I loved it. I loved it so much more than I thought I was going to. I love the kids, and it is a different part of ministry because, you know, being in an event like this, I don't get to connect with these women again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so it's a really cool thing to do in addition to this, where I feel like I'm connecting with kids and speaking into their lives in just a different way. So, and it's scary.
It is scary.
It's scary to be in front of them. They just stare at you and they're not impressed. Like, you have to really win them over.
Yes.
And, but yeah, I love them and I love doing it.
I've noticed that too, though. Being able to speak in front of the masses is one thing. But that more intimate setting, sometimes it brings about a little bit more of a challenge.
Yep, it does.
But you know, we talk about fear here for a second. And one thing we know, Angie, is that the last several years have been a beatdown on so many of us. I mean, there's a lot of disappointment and discouragement and devastation that has just been infiltrating our country and society today. And for you, being on the front lines, being someone who's pouring into and investing into even the next generation, what are some of the common themes and the challenges that you're seeing, maybe even based around the concept of fear?
I think that there are several facets to that. One of them is that we've got COVID kids who are coming through now. And so they're learning how to deal with this world that they weren't really a part of and adjusting. And What I see the most often, and this happened at our school, I should say that I live about 15 minutes from Covenant School in Nashville. And so as far as fear, we're trying to find that spot. And this is true in school, but I think it's true outside of school for all of us, which is we want to be prepared and we want to trust God.
Yep.
And it's that space of we're not going to live in fear, but we also need to be reasonable how we're approaching this. Because unfortunately, Satan still has his ways, and this is one of the ones that he's using that power right now. And so in school, we have little walkie-talkies, and the other day we had several things happen, and, you know, we hear code yellow over our little walkie-talkie, and it was actually we weren't in any danger, but we do that at our school because if we want to keep kids in the classroom and not move into another classroom. And it's not dangerous, just trying to keep us from something. And in this case, it was a child who was having suicidal ideations, and they wanted to be able to get him out of the school and protect his anonymity. But seeing that, that's not even a strange conversation to us anymore, hearing kids who are wrestling with whether or not they want to live. And I'm grateful for this event, this group of people who are making it such a priority to reach kids and to reach adults who are struggling with mental health. And even in the time that I've been a believer, there have been major shifts in this. So I totally understand that aspect of fear and just trying to live in a world that has a lot of rotten things going on, but not be so paralyzed by it that we can't live out amazing lives. But it's a balance for sure.
It's a balance for sure. In my clinical work, I do predominantly work with kids, the next generation. And so you talk about the challenges that they're facing, especially post-COVID. I think they really took the brunt of a lot of the complexities that came with the lockdowns, the loneliness, the loss, all the things that they're seeing. Fear, again, is just infiltrating the world today.
Absolutely.
But like you said, we serve a God who is worthy of our faith. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Angie, as we make that transition, though, I kind of wanted to ask you personally, and hearing a little bit more about your testimony, what were some of the challenges that you've walked through, that you've endured, maybe even as of recent years, that have really shaped the woman and the leader that you are today?
Hmm. Well, I started out in ministry because I was pregnant with a daughter who we knew wouldn't live. We found out about halfway through the pregnancy, and I ended up carrying her, and she lived for a few hours. But obviously that was a line in the sand as far as my faith and really just trusting in a good, benevolent, loving father. And I think we hit those times in life where we feel like we can either choose to believe or walk away. And there were moments where I thought, I don't know if I can believe in a God like this. And of course, I realized during that time that what I was doing was kind of being angry and frustrated and yelling, but it was still directed to him. And he's not intimidated by our doubt, our fear, our frustration. And so I came to a point where I realized, even though it feels this way, I still trust him. He's the one that I'm bringing it to.
Yeah.
And even recent years, you know, we've had normal life things that a lot of people go through. I lost my dad, and again, just walking through seasons where, and you're going to laugh at this, but two of the things that I'm the most afraid of are flying and speaking in front of people.
Wow.
I know, God's hilarious. so, you know, this whole week, I don't take very many speaking engagements anymore, and I've been sick to my stomach and just, but I truly believe that it's obedience. And I think there is something about being obedient in the face of fear that is, there's a power of God that you experience in that that is different from other ways that you experience him. And I'm grateful for that. I will also add that these COVID children also lost a lot of their grammar skills. And because we're inheriting them now.
That's right.
Those poor COVID kids.
That's hilarious, Angie. You know, and hearing about transitions and seasons of change, those seasons can be scary. But I'm reminded of the words of that old quote that God is too loving or too good to be unkind, too wise to be mistaken. Mm-hmm. Even when we can't track or trace his steps, we can always trust his heart.
Oh, that's good.
And so in the middle of this idea or this aspect that we can trust him.
Yeah.
How have you leaned into God and what has he revealed about himself and maybe even these seasons of fear and powerlessness?
Yeah. I think that for me, it's learning to move into a place where I'm having conversation with God constantly. Because what I started to see in myself was that I would go to him in the moment of complete panic.
Yeah.
And I started realizing how little I was in relationship with God. And so I feel like that's something that has made a big difference and that I've seen a growth in the way that I relate to God. I not that long ago, and I mentioned I was afraid of flying, but I was on a flight and it was bumpy, which is when I really don't do well. So I'm so glad I could be here.
Yes.
While we were chasing a hurricane from Florida to here, it was so scary. But, you know, it'll be bumpy in the clouds. And then you get above it and it's blue. And I realized, you know, I've never heard God audibly, but I had a conversation with him not that long ago where I felt like he was saying, why is it that you only pray to me in the clouds? And as soon as it settles down, you know, when you're terrified, you come to me. But when there's this moment of a break and a relief and you feel like things are okay, you don't cling to me the same way. And so a discipline that I'm trying to work on in myself is sort of treating each moment like it's the clouds, treating each moment, reminding myself how much I need him, not just in the times where it feels like things are falling apart, but just to get to the next place I'm going to that day and, you know, to just face everything that I'm working through.
Well, let me tell you this, Angie Smith, you are an incredible communicator. You're an incredible speaker. It may be a fear of yours, but God has gifted you with the ability. And so I'm grateful for your obedience.
Thank you.
But on top of speaking, you're also an incredible author. And you've written so many incredible and best-selling Bible studies. I think of Woven, I think of Seamless. And that's kind of what I want to rest in here for a second is we've talked about a lot of the challenges, but your ministry, Seamless, speak to just the themes and the threads that you have seen just interwoven seamlessly all throughout Scripture that just depict this beautiful, this caring, this loving, this gracious, this forgiving God that is always there, not just allowing these negative things to happen, but experience them alongside of us.
I love that. I love how you said that. You make me sound way better than I am, too. I really like that. I'd like for you to tell my eighth graders what you just said and see if they'll be impressed. Send a video of you saying that. One of the things that I love about writing Bible studies, and I started at Vanderbilt. I went to graduate school. That's why I moved to Nashville. And I felt like a fairly smart person. I love academics. I love learning. It's just, honestly, I'm nerdy about that. I enjoy it. But I could not understand the Bible. And so I became a Christian in graduate school and literally at one point went and sat in a Christian bookstore on the ground in the kids section and pulled out a kid's Bible just to try and see like what is the order of these events. And Seamless and a lot of my ministry comes from a place of wanting to understand and explain things in a simple way. Because God is not— he doesn't want this to be complicated.
That's
the gospel is not for the educated and for the scholars. It's for us. And so even dealing with life in general, I think being able to see this amazing thread that winds through time, you're able to say to yourself, this God that I'm learning about in Genesis is the same God who I'm speaking to right now.
Wow.
And so being able to understand the context, not just of Scripture, but where you fall into this love story. And it, to me, the more you can understand that, you know, I meet people all the time who are like, I never knew the Old and New Testament were connected. And it's like, oh gosh, the story is so much better than you realize, you know, and God is so smart. And look at these amazing things that he does. And he's still the God that we're talking to and learning from. And so for me, a lot of what I have done has been to try and help people understand the story, because it shapes the way that you deal with your everyday life too, to realize you're part of that.
Yes,
your name's not in this black and white maybe, but your name is in the book, and you can live in a different confidence knowing that. So the more you understand about Scripture and the history and the context, I just feel like the more powerful it is to realize that.
Something else that I love about your writing is that you write a lot of children's books as well. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I, we don't have any babies yet, but when we get babies, I promise you, we will be purchasing some of those resources and we will be reading them to our kids because it's so valuable to invest in our children at such a young age, who our God is, and giving them a recognition, again, of all of the attributes, all of the characteristics, and revealing that faith. Speak to what was it that prompted you to write children's books at this level about this God?
Yeah. Well, developmental psychology has always been my passion. And so I think that was a natural tie-in to sort of marry those two things. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we communicate with children and also understanding the way they're thinking at different in different phases? Ironically, and I promise hopefully by then it will be done and I will happily send you a copy of my dissertation. But that's actually what I'm studying for my dissertation is how we tell Bible stories and the way that that affects children's moral development and their choices to either cheat or not cheat in a scenario that they will go through. Because a lot of our teaching, I think, inadvertently can land on if you do this wrong thing, you'll be punished. Instead of maybe if you do this amazing thing, you'll be reminded, you know, God loves you, the rewards in heaven, and just focusing the positive parts of our faith. And so they have found with kids who, not with Christian books, but the kids are actually more motivated to act morally when they've heard the positive side of things. Wow. And so we're testing that out to see if it's true with different versions of Bible stories. But then, you know, you've got to put these little pumpkins in front of a computer and you walk out of the room and they're not supposed to turn around. And we know that most of them will. But then we'll get to have conversations with them and ask about their choices and why they did that. And I just, I feel like literature and teaching kids about Jesus, they're listening to stories. I mean, this is the main way that Jesus taught, right, is through stories. So I'm really interested to see if that, and again, it's really cool to see how it's tied together, that all of these things that I really have a passion for sort of got to come together in different ways. So we'll see how it goes.
I cannot wait to hear more about
that. I'm excited about it.
No, that's fascinating. Yeah. And I'd be interested then in knowing your research and knowing your interest, how has that impacted your view of God, your perspective of God? Because when you talk about like pain and punishment and equating those two things, there's a lot of listeners out there who call themselves Christians that have the perspective of, man, why God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Like it's a punishment. But in reality, it could be God choosing to develop and walk alongside of them through the valley. How has that shifted your perspective?
I definitely think that, well, I could answer that a number of ways. Number one is I understand that fear and frustration and even doubt, everything that seems, you know, those are questions that we're going to ask of God. I remember a long time ago, I feel like this story just, again, story makes sense, but I have a daughter, my daughter Kate, who loves food, does not like to share food. And we had a neighbor come over one time and Kate was eating her lunch that they had just gotten from a restaurant. And this little girl came over and she asked if she could have some of the sandwich. And I'm like, there's no way Kate's going to share. And she's, you know, probably five or six at the time. And she broke off a piece and gave it to this little girl. And then, you know, they were eating and a little bit later, Kate had a chocolate chip cookie. And she asked for some of the cookie. And I watched Kate break the cookie. And you could clearly see that one side was much bigger than the other. And I watched her go back and forth with which one she was going to give to this little girl. And eventually she handed her the smaller piece. But I was honestly so proud that she shared. And so as they were walking out of the house, and I'm so glad I heard it because I wouldn't have understood the beauty of the story if I hadn't. I heard Kate say to her friend, "Hey, just so you know, I gave you the one with the most chocolate chips." And I realized that she had given the best portion. I just didn't understand the scale. And I have to believe that everything is sifted through God's hands and all of these things that we're dealing with. It isn't a matter of not getting the better portion. It's just a matter of us not being able to understand the scale right now.
That's a powerful story, powerful imagery. that God is not withholding, mm-mm. right? But that he has your best interest at heart.
Yes.
That's the God that we serve. Yeah. Angie, you know, I could sit here and hear your stories and talk to you all day, but just to be respectful of time, I know we're short on time. I would love to wrap up this way. I always want to end our conversations to share a pressing word that God has placed mm-hmm. on their heart for such a time as this, specifically today, mm-hmm. who maybe does feel disappointed and recognizes that, you know what, Angie, life just isn't the way it's supposed to be. They're deflated, maybe to the point of feeling defeated. What's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to leave with that individual today as we depart?
I'm far away in distance right now, and people are hearing my voice from different places. I wish I was sitting right there. I think sometimes just to put an arm around someone and say, I understand, and I've been there, and I'm there in some ways right now, but this just isn't forever. Sometimes my kids will have a really hard day at school, or they'll feel like they were left out of something, and they know that what I'm going to say to them is, this is going to feel different in the morning. I say that a lot. And so I think that's my encouragement right now, is just that it'll feel different on a different day. And so to press on through what you're going through, to rely on Jesus, but also to know that there's something better that's waiting.
Amen. Hope is the recognition that your current situation is not your final destination. Angie Smith, my friend, thank you so much just for your time, for your willingness to
Absolutely.
Join me. Thank you for being here at eWomen. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Emotion doesn't make you fragile. It makes you human. You see, we often label feelings like sadness, anger, or fear as weakness. But emotion is a signal, not a sin. I once sat with a man who believed that crying made him less masculine. He'd spent decades bottling up pain until it all spilled out through panic and isolation. Clinically, repressed emotion shows up in anxiety, high blood pressure, even relational withdrawal. But Scripture shows a Jesus who wept, who felt anguish, who flipped tables in holy anger. You see, emotions aren't enemies. They're actually invitations to go deeper with God and ourselves. Your call to action, begin asking, what emotion have I been avoiding? And then I would challenge you to write about it, to pray about it, and to let God meet you in that unfiltered place.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand today. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.